Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome. This is episode 2 of the Paul Ryder Tapes. I'm Angela Smith. I'm the ex-wife of Paul Ryder, and as everyone knows, he tragically passed away in July of 2022. We'd no idea that he was going to die so soon, as he came to the studio every week for several months. And we literally finished recording this story just 12 days before he passed away. Coming up in this episode...
They had a warehouse party full of stock. And obviously he had loads of mounts in there, like, oh, fucking hell, I'll have these. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And, it was like a miniature crime spree.
Sean asked for drums. Oh, my God. No way.
I remember the last time I saw...
You're setting me off.
It helps because I don't like the person he became.
Right.
I don't like who he is.
Do you hope that one day you'll reconcile and be friends again?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think he would feel if he got a call one day saying that you were dead? So what was your vision for yourself when you were still at school? Like, mm-hmm. Most people from where we come, and we come from, like, towns... probably 3 or 4 miles from each other.
Yeah.
Most of the people I was at school with aspired to staying where they were, getting married, having kids, and getting a regular job. And
yeah.
Where did you see your future at that point? Did you think you'd end up living where you were born or moving away or
got sucked into that mentality. I got a proper job at the post office when I was 16, and a girlfriend, and we got engaged at 19, you know, and that was the plan. You get your job, you get your girlfriend, you get engaged, get married, get a house, have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realised that I didn't want to do that. I still wanted to be on top of the pops.
Paul's mum, Linda, remembers the day that the brothers decided to form a band.
The day that Paul said he wanted to start a band, the very same day, Sean had been to see David Essex in That'll Be The Day, and he came in and said, I want to start a band, I want to be in That'll Be The Day like David Essex. And Paul said, oh, that's funny that, because I've decided I want to be in a band today. I just thought they were doing it to keep themselves occupied and just entertain themselves.
Ah, so you never forgot that dream?
Never forgot that dream.
Did you ever share that with your fiancé, that dream?
No. Not at all. It was just kept in my own head.
Somebody came to the house to teach him the bass. We found him a tutor. And then after that, he said, I don't want him to come anymore because like Derek with the piano, when the piano teacher told his mother he was putting things in that wasn't in the sheet music. Well, Paul had started putting his own twiddly bits in.
Do you know what changed it all? Smoking weed.
Really?
Yeah. It kind
you
of
don't off. Smoke weed now at all, do you?
Not
living in California, you don't smoke weed.
I know. Not since Iceland, when we went in the Blue Lagoon.
Really? That's the last
that
time
That was the last time I smoked a weed.
And why did you stop? Isn't it funny how they say a weed in England? Smoked a weed.
A weed.
Here it's some weed. So why did you stop at that particular
Because point? A typical addict behaviour, I overdid it, and it sent me paranoid.
In Iceland, you were paranoid?
No. Smoking weed.
Right. But why was Iceland the last time that you ever did it?
Because I felt like I got cured in the Blue Lagoon.
You've never told me this before.
No.
You felt like you got cured of what?
Smoking.
Really?
Smoking, yeah, in not cigarettes, Lagoon? But in the, that was the last time I smoked.
Sean asked for drums. Oh, my God. No way.
I think we need to explain the relevance of this.
Yeah,
so
go on.
We met on that trip in Iceland when I was working for MTV,
mm-hmm.
and I was sent to do a piece on you, on the band, doing a gig in Iceland.
That's right.
And that's where we very first met.
And you was the first one to put the Mondays on MTV?
I think so.
Yeah.
Crash, bang, wallet.
Well, it was just before you were kind of famous in Europe, wasn't it? It was when mm-hmm. you'd released the Hallelujah EP.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the road knew about it.
And I remember we filmed the gig and we made a live video of the gig to the Hallelujah EP. Because I don't think there'd been a video done at that point.
I don't think so.
But I know that we put that out. And I remember meeting you. I remember when we got to Iceland and you had a massive entourage of crew.
Yeah.
And we were at the airport and I thought, oh, we need a shot of the band leaving the airport. But mm-hmm. you'd all got on the bus by then.
You had weefers, twutters, twitters or whatever you call them, twerpers.
I was like, we need this shot. We need to establish you arriving in Iceland. But the really embarrassing thing was I didn't know who was in the band and who was in the crew. And I knew mm-hmm. that if I got on the bus and said, can we have the band and let the band know, let the crew know that I didn't know who was in the band and who wasn't, I'd have had half the crew instead of the band pretending to
probably.
Be in the band. So I had to come up with a really clever way of working out who was in the band and who wasn't and navigating my way through that.
I was just glad then that Sean got fed up. And
yes,
decided
no.
Yeah.
He thinks he'll be a singer.
How did you do that? I don't remember.
I think I literally just said, can we have the band?
Mm-hmm.
Just hoping that they didn't realise that I didn't know exactly who was who.
Okay.
And so you all came. And that was probably the first time we saw each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember doing a shot of you all walking out of the airport and getting onto the bus. And this was Rowetta wasn't involved at that point, was she? She wasn't on that trip.
No,
she wasn't. As far as I remember.
Yeah, so we mustn't have done Step On.
No, it was before Step On. This was Hallelujah.
Right.
It was before Pills and Thrills.
Oh, right, yeah, she definitely wasn't with us then.
So then we filmed you coming out of the airport. And I remember I was with my friend Laura, who was my PA, I was directing, and we were there for two nights. We were like, oh, we're going to be partying, it's the Happy Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd flown directly from Amsterdam to Iceland, and you'd all been so wrecked in Amsterdam that you all went to bed early the first night. We were like, what? These are meant to be the party animals.
That's
and it just
good.
Didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next night, I remember you making eyes at me from up there were some stairs in the hotel. I remember you like staring at me a bit too long. I was like, oh, I think he's looking at me. And then the gig was the following night.
That's right.
I remember you being really nice backstage. We were in the dressing room filming, and I remember Bez was limbering up to hot chocolate.
Right.
He was literally doing exercises with hot chocolate in the dressing room on full blast. And then you were really attentive and then making sure we had drinks and, like, being nice to us.
Oh.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And then we filmed the gig. And do you remember Bez threw up on the cameraman's shoes? I think he'd had, like, a few too many E's or something.
Yeah.
And he literally threw up while the cameraman was on stage filming the drummer, filming Gaz.
I had no idea.
Let's throw up on my shoes.
Yeah, that was quite a bad trip, to say the least, you know what I mean? And the funny thing was, they had a warehouse party full of, in a warehouse full of stock. And obviously, I had loads of mounts in there, like, oh, fucking hell, I'll have these. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah, it was like a miniature crime spree went on at the time as well.
So, anyway, we met in Iceland and you did some more filming at the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, it's a great trip swimming at the Blue Lagoon. It was one of those memorable gigs, you know what I mean? A weekend in where was it? Reckitt. Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I went into this Blue Lagoon, covered myself with this white sand.
White mud,
yeah. And when I came out, I felt all cleansed and I never touched a joint again.
Yeah, but you touched a few other things.
I touched a hell of a lot more, but I never smoked weed after that.
I never knew that. Mm. I never knew that. That's... 17 years and I never knew that.
You didn't know that?
No. You always told me that you didn't smoke it since you were in the Caribbean, I think.
No, it was Iceland.
Wow.
Because it was typical addict, like I say, I was just doing it every... I couldn't get out of bed without a joint. Couldn't go to bed without one. Couldn't get dressed without one.
Wow.
Couldn't go out of the house unless I had a joint. It just took over everything.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, how odd then that it probably saved your son's life a few years later.
I know.
We'll come to that.
We'll come to that
in a little bit.
So, yeah, I was going down the path of girlfriend, job, mortgage, marriage, and then I discovered marijuana. And it kind of opened my mind a bit, expanded it, and it was like... I don't want to do what everyone else is doing. You know, I want to do something different. Still wanted to travel. Still wanted to be on top of the pops.
Right.
But I was stuck at the post office for quite a few years.
And Paul met one of his very best friends, Andy Hardy, when he was working at the post office.
This was way before the ban. Paul had his, his side parting and his little kind of coloured quiff in his hair, which he refused to remove. He was told by managers in the post office to get rid of the purple stroke pink quiff in his hair, which Paul refused to get rid of. So for that, he was punished and dispatched from where he was working to where I was working, and that's kind of where we met. Fridays was our big day. Friday was payday, and back in the day, you wait anxiously for your wage packet to tip up on a Friday morning, about 10 o'clock. Always paid in cash. The money would arrive and you'd all stand there rubbing your hands waiting for yours to be shouted out, and then we'd always head off to the pub. Friday afternoon was pub afternoon, so me and Paul, as soon as we got our wages, as soon as the clock struck 12, that was it. Coats on, out of the door, up to the Bull's Head. Had a game of Space Invaders and various other things, usually two pints in those days when you first started drinking was a lot of alcohol. And we'd head back to the post office, always late on a Friday, and then go and hide somewhere.
I love that job, though.
I delivered telegrams. Naked?
Not naked. But my claim to fame is I delivered the last telegram in northwest of England.
Did you?
Then the day after it was scrapped.
Who was it to? Can you remember?
I think it was making somebody redundant.
Oh, no, that's not very romantic,
no.
Is it?
No, we had to do a lot of that, redundancy telegrams.
When me and Paul went out on our post office driving training, that was in the summer of 1981, just in the middle of the riots. It was kicking off everywhere. And I remember one day, the driving instructor said, "Where do you want to go today?" So we said, "Can we go to Liverpool?" Because it was kicking off in Toxteth then, you know what I mean? The place. So we thought, well, let's go to Toxteth and see what it looks like a couple of days after the place was kind of burnt down. And so we're driving up Upper Parliament Street. Me and Paul had been told off on numerous occasions by the driving instructor for misbehaving in the back of the car. We'd both, kind of pull faces at each other whilst the other one was driving, trying to put them off, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, getting on his nerves. And I think we're driving up Upper Parliament Street, and finally the driving instructor completely lost it. He had a complete meltdown. Police vans everywhere, fire engines, ambulances everywhere, there was smoke everywhere. His driving instructor just slammed the brakes on the car, leapt out of the car, runs around, Paul was driving at the time, runs around to Paul's side of the car, pulls the door open, grabs Paul out of the car, yanks him out of the car, takes him round, pins him on the bonnet, and he said, right, if you carry on messing about, I'm going to smash your face in. With that, chucks Paul on the floor, runs round to the other side, opens my door, drags me out, pulls me to the back of the car, pins me onto the boot of the car, and said, same goes for you. But sheepishly, we got back in the car. Not a word was spoken. Me and Paul, lips trembling like that, all the way back to Manchester. Oh, it was hilarious. Hilarious. Yeah, we behaved after that.
What kind of television shows were you watching at this, other than Top of the Pops?
The old Grey Whistle Test.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Sunday night.
Yeah.
My dad would go off.
Bob.
Yeah, my dad and mum would go off to the folk club, and we'd go round to Pat and Matt's house, my Auntie Mary's house, doing the record thing. But on Sundays, it was always the old Grey Whistle Test.
Yeah.
And I loved it, and that was like a more mature Top of the Pops.
Yeah. It was quite prog rock, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of prog rock.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Do you remember watching Tony Wilson on Granada Reports and having an opinion about him?
I remember his TV show. Was it called So It Goes? Yeah, I remember him on So It Goes because he was having punk bands on.
Yeah.
That was around about the time punk was exploding.
Yeah.
I thought he was okay. I didn't think, I don't like him.
No, he was very flamboyant and a real maverick newsreader, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I remember him doing his show with his big long scarves on and stuff.
And he got sacked a couple of times for swearing on air.
Did he?
Yeah, but they always took him back because he was a great character.
He was amazing, wasn't he?
Great
amazing.
Character.
Holidays, family holidays. Tell me about those.
Last 2 weeks in August, all the way through high school, the last 2 weeks in August, we always went to the same place, same caravan. That's Perranporth in Cornwall.
Yeah? And what kind of things did you do?
When we first started going, I was only 11 years old.
Right.
So it was just a beach thing, and there's big waves there, so you could go bodyboarding.
Right.
So I did a bit of that. But by the time I was like 14, I still went on holiday with my parents, but I was going in the pub.
Really? At 14?
At 14, yeah.
With Sean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and did they know that you were drinking?
Yeah.
They didn't mind?
No, they didn't mind.
It was a pub garden in the gardens, and Im and Dave used to sneak a little shandy, I think.
Would you say that they were very kind of liberal parents for the time, or were they normal? Like, were they more liberal than regular parents, do you think, or not?
I think they was pretty liberal. They didn't drink when I was growing up. My parents never drank. It was only later on in life they both started drinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they was pretty liberal. They just let us do what we was doing.
Do you think that they should have been more disciplined with you?
I don't think so, no.
No? No. Maybe history would have been different.
Would have been very different.
Yeah. And how would you describe your relationship with your mum and dad?
Great. Really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Always
really good, yeah.
And what about?
I think I tried leaving home when I was 12 because they wouldn't let me have a salamander.
What's one of those?
A lizard. I wanted a lizard and they said no, so I left home.
Paul decided he wanted a tropical lizard, and Derek said, no way. If you think we're keeping that lamp on and heating the thing up all the time, and what'll happen, your mother will end up looking after it, or I will, you are not having a tropical lizard. Right, I'm leaving home. So he gathered his washing off the maiden, the wet washing that was drying, got a little backpack, and Sean came in and he said, I've just seen Paul with a like a suitcase on his back. Where's he going, peddling like that? Oh, he's left home. He's gone to Nana's because he can't have a tropical lizard. Oh, anyway, it got to tea time and he came sneaking in. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, I thought I might as well come home. He said, because they're only having chips and eggs, so I've come home for my chicken dinner.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Paul and Sean's volatile relationship has been well documented through the years, and his mum Linda and her best friend Sandra, who's the mum of drummer Gaz Whelan, have witnessed it all.
I mean, when you think what they were like when they were younger.
They were lovely, weren't they? And then all hell broke out, didn't it, when they were older?
Yeah.
You never knew which Sean you was going to get. He can be nasty or he can be really cool.
Yeah.
And you never knew which one was going to come out.
What do you think decides whether it's the nasty one or the nice one?
I've no idea. I can't work his brain out.
No. Do you feel he's gone more extreme as he's got older?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
More extreme in his... in what?
In his lies. More extreme in his stories and his... It's difficult because I don't really hang out with him anymore. I don't. I only see him at shows.
Does that make you upset?
No.
Are you sure? I mean, he's your only brother. He's your only sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And you were very close when you were growing up. It must hurt you that you don't have a relationship with him now.
I just don't. It helps because I don't like the person he became.
Right.
I don't like who he is.
Do you hope that one day you'll reconcile and be friends again?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think he would feel if he got a call one day saying that you were dead?
I have no idea.
Come on, go there.
I have no idea what he'd think. I really don't know.
Okay, reverse that. How would you feel if you got a call?
I'd be sad, obviously. He's sad.
Right.
And that's about it.
For what, though? What would you be sad for?
That my brother was dead.
Right, because what would that mean?
There wouldn't be a chance to make up.
Right.
There we go.
So you do want to make up with him, then?
I'm in no rush. I'm sure it'll happen. But if he died, it would be upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you never thought of, like, reaching out and...
I've reached out to him a few times.
And?
His answer was, I don't want to know.
What did you say?
I can't remember.
Come on, what did you say?
I can't remember.
Yeah, you can.
I can't. It's happened like 3 times and I'll never do it again.
I mean, you better kind of fill people in because people see you playing on the stage with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they would assume that you and the rest of the band have some kind of relationship with him. Explain how that works.
Well, he doesn't travel with the band. He travels separate, which is great. It works out fine for all of us. He travels separate. Me, Gaz, Mark Day, Dan on keyboard and Roetta, we all travel together.
Mm.
And we just see Sean 5 minutes before we go on stage.
And what about sound checks?
He's not done sound checks for 20 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And what about after the shows? What happens then?
Well, usually we end up with, in the set with Rope for Luck, which kind of turns into a jam for 5 minutes. Mm. And he's off stage and out the door and in his car and gone while we're still playing.
Every single show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you say...
He thinks he's James Brown.
Do you say hello to him if you pass him, like, before the show? Like,
sometimes I'll nod. Sometimes he'll nod. We don't really do eye contact.
Wow.
But once we're on stage, all that's forgotten. And the most important thing is doing the show.
Hmm. What's your dynamic like on the stage?
It's okay. Yeah.
Didn't he used to hurl abuse at you?
Yeah, he doesn't do it anymore. Oh, he used to snide comments all the time.
Like what?
Well, the last one he did, he was calling me miserable and I never smiled. Right. So I took the microphone off him and I said, "You're just a cock."
Yeah.
And 20,000 people cheered.
I remember once he pulled a fake gun on you in a show that I was at. Remember he pretended to
be
shot?
Oh, yeah, he wanted me to pretend to be shot and fall on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do that.
No.
No.
It's like...
But yeah, there was tension for years on stage, for years and years and years. In the early days, there was tension, but I think that tension gave us an edge.
I was just going to say the same thing. I think without that tension, maybe you would be losing something. Mm-hmm. So maybe that tension is part of what makes the Mondays magic.
Mm. Yeah, I mean the tension's not there anymore, and we're doing better shows.
Right, the tension is still there, though, because you're still not speaking.
That's true.
And what about his relationship with the other members of the band?
He gets on okay with everyone.
Does he speak to them, though? He's friendly with Bears, but...
Friendly with Bears, but he's friendly with everyone. We've all had our turn. Yeah. Rowetta's up been slagged off.
Yeah.
Gazza's. Mark Day. He's slagged us all off.
Yeah.
For many years, still doing it.
Yeah. Why won't he write an album with you? Or will he write an album with you?
Maybe that'll happen one day.
But why do you think it's not? I mean, you're constantly asked to do a new album.
What? Yeah, we're not even on the same book, never mind the same page. No.
Mm.
Maybe if we... do a bit of healing between our relationship, then maybe an album might come out of it.
Right.
But up until then,
yeah.
It's just impossible to work with him.
Why is that?
Because he actually doesn't want me and Gaz involved in the music. He wants to do it all himself.
But he doesn't play any instruments.
I know. That's Sean for you. That's his latest.
Really?
Yeah. Okay,
let's
break,
move on.
Break on that one. I'm getting too hot again.
All right.
Have we done enough?
No, not quite.
Okay. Do a bit more. Let me have a cig and a...
Yeah.
Cig and a piss. That got heavy. You got stuff out of me that no one got out of me.
I asked Andy Hardy, Paul's friend from the post office days, if he remembered the last time he'd seen him.
I remember the last time I saw him.
You're setting me off.
The last time I saw him was September. God, when was that? Was it September 21, I think it was.
Right.
And he came over to do a Strawberry Studios thing at in Stockport. And when he came over, he said, "Oh, do you want to come to this thing with me that I'm doing?" It's a kind of, I think it's, I don't know, 25 years of Strawberry Studios. And he had to kind of give a speech. And he had bands on, people who worked in Strawberry Studios went there and said a few words on stage, and Paul being one of them. So I think he sent me a text message saying, I'm doing this thing on a Tuesday night. Do you want to come with me? I said, yeah, I'll come with me. And then he turns around and says, oh, bring one of our other mates, Dave, with us. So me, Paul and Dave, Paul picked us up in the car, and then we went down to Strawberry Studios, had a few pints. Paul kind of got ushered off and had to kind of go down there on stage and everything and give his speech. Me and Paul went out for cigarettes, various outside, and had a kind of chat out there. Went back in for drinks, went out for fags, went in for drinks. And that was the last time I saw him. Never saw him again after that. But we had loads of good times. We had loads of fun. Loads of fun, mate, Paul. Loads of fun. Just laughed about everything, laughed about everyone. Took the piss out of everyone mercilessly. And had a great, he was a fantastic, we got on fantastically, me and Paul. And he was always the same throughout his life, fame, fortune. He was always the same guy. Always, no airs and graces, no pretensions. He was a wonderful guy. Miss him so much.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Please join us again next week for some really special guests. We're going to be talking to Mark, Gaz and PD, the very original Mondays keyboard player, who is just brilliant. And of course, Linda and Sandra are going to be back. Here's a sneak preview.
But is it difficult for you to talk about all of this?
Yeah, really difficult.
Why?
Because I'm more of a private person, and I don't like people knowing what I'm thinking. And really? I'm giving away a lot of stuff, so it's it makes me nervous.
He wants to look at crotchets and quavers on the stave. Sat there like Mozart, you know what I mean? Sat that.
When he had his house in Crumsall, and there was these two old, there was in the post office, these three old, really old Jewish women with these big glasses. And he said, fucking hell, it's from DMC. And things like that. And he was the funniest person I've ever met in my life.
We're playing out with the first single that was released from the Big Arm album, Flashbacks, which is soon going to be re-released. If you're watching this on video, see if you can spot our son Chico, who got caught in a shot carrying a tripod. It was a bit of a low-budget shoot, that one. Thanks so much for being here and helping to make this the number one music podcast earlier this week in the UK. After our first recording session, Paul turned to me and asked if I thought anyone would be interested in what he had to say. So I just really wish he'd lived long enough to know that, yeah, they are. If you've not already done so, please give us a nice review and subscribe to our Glistening Stories YouTube channel. Go to the website at paulryder.tv for links to all the socials and to leave a voice note if you'd like to share a memory of Paul. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Bye. This project was brought to you by Glistening Productions. Cameras were by Richard Venti and Phil Smethers. Offline editing was Phil Smethers, Richard Haywood, Terence Holloway and Richard Venti. And online editing, also Richard Haywood. Titles were by Matt Carroll from Central Station. And the music, of course, is Paul Ryder and Big Arm. The associate producer is the lovely Sarah Walters, and it was produced and directed by Angela Smith. The executive producers are Angela Smith and M. Jacoby. Special thanks, of course, must go to Linda Ryder, Sandra Whelan, Andy Hardy, and of course, Bez. But of course, more than anything, big thanks to the absolute star of the show, the late, great Paul Ryder. Check out Glistening Productions, other podcasts, Soul Bear Sessions, Accidentally Milf and Frame for Murder, which is coming soon. If you want to watch the video version of this podcast, it's premiering on our YouTube channel, Glistening Stories, at 8 p.m. UK time on Sunday, July 23rd.
No, no, it was egg things, egg cases, you know, what you have your eggs in. All round everywhere. What the bloody hell have you done?